I will now pass it over to Jennifer Hanna, who will open today's call.
Good afternoon. Thank you all for joining us today. I am Jennifer Hanna, the Deputy Director of ASPR's National Healthcare Preparedness Programs, or NHPP branch. And to begin today's call, I would like to provide a brief overview of our agenda. First, I will provide an ASPR Healthcare Readiness Programs update. Next, Erica Thomas from the Office of Strategy, Policy, Planning, and Requirements, or STPR, will go over the Hospital Association implementation guidance and highlight the updates regarding end-of-year Hospital Association reporting. Afterwards, we'll open the floor to all of you to ask any questions regarding the reporting or the guidance. Finally, we will leave some time at the end for general questions. So I'd like to begin today's webinar with one healthcare readiness programmatic update. I would like to take a moment and highlight two recently published stories from the field that highlight how Hospital Association COVID-19 supplemental funding was used in Ohio and Washington State. Stories from the field provide an opportunity to highlight the hard work and accomplishments of our recipients and subrecipients. The first story highlights an effort you all heard about a few months ago from the Ohio Hospital Association. The story outlines the OHA's collaborative effort to solve the personal protective equipment shortage by repurposing manufacturing plants to produce PPE and create manufacturing jobs across the state. The second story highlights the Washington Medical Coordination Center and the extensive efforts and partnerships that mitigated hospital surge while ensuring continuity of care during the COVID-19 pandemic. Both stories provide an example of the diversity of support that ASPR funding offers recipients and subrecipients as they bolster emergency preparedness and response. To read these stories and others, head to the Stories from the Field page on aspr.hhs.gov. For your reference, a member of our team will share the Stories from the Field page link in the chat momentarily. As a reminder, we invite you to share any stories regarding how you or your hospitals or other healthcare entities are using ASPR funding to make a positive impact on your communities. If you have a story to share, please fill out our Stories from the Field submission form or reach out to your field project officer for more information. A member of our team will drop the Story from the Field submissions form link in the chat for easy reference. We look forward to hearing about the great work that you are doing. I will now pass it over to Erica Thomas from STPR, or SIPR, who will go over the Hospital Association implementation guidance and updates regarding end-of-year reporting. Erica?
Thank you, Jennifer. The information we are presenting today is related to the reopening of the Cooperative Agreement Accountability and Management Platform, or CAMP, and the changes made to the Hospital Association COVID-19 Preparedness and Response Activities Cooperative Agreement Performance Measures Implementation Guidance. We have allocated time at the end of today's presentation for questions. We ask that you wait until the end of the session to ask your question. We are excited to announce that CAMP will be opening for the end of the year data collection on Wednesday, July 6th. The data collection for the second period of performance of the Hospital Association Cooperative Agreement will start on that Wednesday, July 6th, and run through Friday, September 9th. The data collection process will be the same as last year. For recipient data, the user must navigate to CAMP's header and select Recipient under Performance Measures. Once there, the user should select New Recipient Measures on the page. The user will then be prompted to enter the recipient account and select Create. To complete the form, all applicable and required questions must be answered. Subrecipient data entry forms cannot be generated until the recipient level report is started. Once that happens, the user should navigate to CAMP's header and select subrecipient under performance measures. Then the user can select new in the upper right corner of the page. Select the populating report for 2021 and click create. Once the forms are generated, the recipient will have two options. One, the recipient can fill out and submit the subrecipient performance measure form directly in CAMP on behalf of the subrecipient. The second option, the recipient can send the subrecipient an Excel sheet from CAMP with instructions on how to email in the completed sheet to NHPP. Please note, for either option, NHPP will provide an Excel template with performance measure questions to support the data collection process. Users will be able to begin this process on July 6th. We also plan to send out the slides for you all to reference in greater detail. One last note before we move to the cooperative agreement's implementation guidance. NHPP is in the process of finding a solution for recipients to denote if their subrecipient used all of the funding during year one and did not conduct any activities in year two. Any changes to the data collection process will be communicated in a timely manner. There are a total of 21 end-of-year performance measures and 15 optional questions in the Hospital Association Cooperative Agreement Performance Measures Implementation Guidance. On your screen, you can see the performance measures grouped by overarching theme. Additionally, recipients will have the opportunity to provide insight into year two of the cooperative agreement by providing responses to a set of 15 optional questions. The subsequent slides denote which measures recipients and subrecipients are responsible for during the end of year data collection cycle. As you may have seen last year, hospital associations will be required to answer 7 performance measures and have the option of answering an additional set of 15 optional questions in the upcoming data collection period. These measures are aimed at capturing how hospital associations utilize funding to achieve performance measures, to achieve preparedness and response capabilities during the performance. PM2 will ask the hospital association to report how much funding was reported to subrecipients. PM3 asked the hospital association to note how much funding was spent across the 8 target outcomes of the cooperative agreement. Please note, hospital associations should not include funding they distributed to subrecipients in their response to PM3, but should only answer for funding used directly by the hospital association. PM7 asks the hospital association to disclose the number of trainings provided to subrecipients on implementing COVID-19 pandemic or emergency preparedness plans. Infection control and triage trainings for healthcare professionals are addressed in PMs 10, 11, and 12. Hospital associations are asked to denote types of supplies and equipment purchased directly by the entity in PM 17. Furthermore, hospital associations will be given the option of reporting additional information pertaining to challenges and leading practices during the period of performance by answering the optional questions 1 through 15. The headers highlighted in blue denote the cooperative agreement's objectives. Please note, you will not be required to provide a response to PM 4, 5, and 6 as the reporting for this measure pertains to the middle of the project period. Similar to the hospital association end-of-year measures, subrecipients will have to answer the same questions as last year with one exception that we will go over on the next slide. In total, subrecipients will be required to answer 15 performance measures. These measures are aimed at capturing how subrecipients utilize funding to achieve preparedness and response capabilities during the performance period. PM1 asks the subrecipients to specify the facility type that most closely represents the subrecipient. There are 8 facility types for which the subrecipient can choose from, ranging from acute care hospitals to hospital systems. There is also an option to provide a free response if the subrecipient does not fall into one of the pre-identified facility types. As with hospital associations, subrecipients are required to provide a response to PM3, denoting how much funding was spent across the 8 target outcomes of the cooperative agreement. PMs 8 and 9 measure if the subrecipient updated and/or trained staff to implement COVID-19 pandemic or emergency preparedness response plans. If a subrecipient spent funds on infection control and triage training, the entity will be required to submit a response for PMs 13 through 16. The procurement of supplies and equipment is associated with PM 18, with PM 19 asking the subrecipient to denote if they instituted PPE optimization strategies in accordance with CDC guidelines. PMs 20, 21, and 22 are associated with the planning, training, and implementation of telemedicine and telehealth capabilities to either improve access to care for individuals, improve the routing of patients to appropriate care settings, or maintain the continuity of operations using telemedicine or telehealth. The retrofitting of facility areas to screen and treat patients is associated with PM 24 and 25 as subrecipients to provide further data on the increased bed capacity to support surge in patients. As with the last slide, the headers highlighted in blue denote the cooperative agreement's objectives. Before we go into the changes made to the implementation guidance, we wanted to provide you with a reminder that the performance measures you answer are conditional to how you respond to the target outcomes in PM3. For example, if you only spent $100 and allocated it all to target outcome 4, procurement of and preservation strategies for optimization of PPE and other supplies and equipment, and according to CDC guidelines, then you would only be required to answer PM 17. The same applies to subrecipient performance measures. Apart from slight changes to provide greater clarity, this year's implementation guidance has 5 adjustments related to performance measures. Adjustment 1, the second target outcome in PM3, enhance infection control and triage training for healthcare professionals and other support services workers, has been divided into 2 parts to delineate the amount of funding that was allocated to enhancing infection control training from triage training. Adjustment 2, in line with the first adjustment, PM 10, number of hospital associations providing cooperative agreement supported training or resources on COVID-19 infection control and triage, has been divided into 2 parts for improved clarity. Part 1, PM 10A is related to infection control. Part 2, PM 10B is related to triage. Adjustment 3, PM 13, number of facilities or organizations providing COVID-19 infection control and triage training, has been divided into 2 parts for improved clarity. Part 1, PM 13A is related to infection control. PM 13B is related to triage. Adjustment 4, we have added a clarifying sentence for PM 17. Types of procured supplies and equipment per hospital association to make it clear that any reporting for this measure must be related to supplies and equipment purchased by the hospital association. Adjustment 5, we have retired PM 23, percent increase in the number of patient care visits conducted via telehealth or telemedicine year over year. Please feel free to ask questions on the content today. If you have any further questions after this meeting, please contact Aldo Agara and copy your FPO. For your reference, a member of our team will share Aldo's email in the chat. Before we close, we have two announcements to make. If you haven't already done so, please review the email sent earlier regarding updates to your recipient and subrecipient information. Please send any updates to your recipient contact information by next Friday, June 24th, to Aldo Agara with your FPO copied on the email. Subrecipient contact information changes must be made in camp before the start of the end of the year reporting process on Wednesday, July 6th. We will schedule training and office hours once camp is up and running to answer any questions related to data submission, logging into the system, and any other items that may arise. We will now open the floor to questions. Please feel free to ask in the chat or raise your hand and we will call on you. I now pass it over to Jennifer Hanna.
So just a reminder, everyone, if you have any questions for any of the information that Erica has presented, please feel free to enter those questions in the chat or raise your hand and one of the members of our team will unmute you so that you can answer your question live. So Erica, one of the first questions we have here is, can you please report when the report is due?
The data collection closes September 9th.
Thank you. We have another question here that says, will the slide deck be available? I can answer that. Yes. After this call, once the recording and the transcript are prepared, we will provide the slides as well as the link to the recording and transcript.
And Jennifer and Erica, it looks like John Wilgus has his hand up, so I'll go ahead and unmute you, John.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks, everyone. Real quick, I just want to get a little clarification on funding that was dispersed to a subrecipient, but that may not be obligated or spent, and how we are to distinguish that. I haven't looked at the new performance metrics yet or anything. I'm sure it's in there, but could you just talk about that? I have some coalitions that we funded that are planning on using their money over the entire project, 5-year project period. And so I just want to know how we're to indicate money that's already dispersed and obligated and spent versus that they're sitting on. Thank you.
Thank you, John. That is a really good question. Jennifer, I'm going to pass that over to you for clarification.
Sure, John, thanks for that question. If they've already received their funding, because as you recall, the funding is 5-year funding, and the project period and the budget period are five years. But if they are planning to expend that funding and conduct activities in the out years, then if they didn't conduct any activities within this year two or this second year of period of performance, then they won't need to report this year. They'll report for the year in which they will be conducting those activities.
Thank you, Jennifer, for that clarification. Again, thank you for your question, John.
I believe we have another question here that says, also recipients that totally completed spending and related activities in year one must complete the report and do so in full.
Yes, that is correct.
However, I think that we noted that we were looking for a solution that if you had completed expending the funds in year one and completed all activities in year one, we're looking for a way in which you'll be able to indicate that that's what you have done so that you may not need to complete the entire report again. So one little clarification, I think, and that was covered in the slide deck as well. Let's see here. It says, what is the period covered by these current performance measures? Erica?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. The period cover, could you clarify that for me one more time, Jennifer?
Sure, they're asking for this data collection, what is the period covered by the data collection? If you need me, I can help you out with that.
Yes, you can do that for me, please.
Okay, certainly. The period covered, or whether the performance period that is covered by these performance measures, is April 10, 2021 through April 9, 2022. And just a reminder, if you have other questions, please enter them into the chat or please raise your hand and one of the team members will unmute you. We have another question here. It says, will a tangible property report be required to be completed for year two? This is Jennifer. I'm going to follow up with grants management regarding that, because if I recall, the tangible property report, which I believe is the 428 report, is not required. But I will confirm that with grants management, and we'll follow up with everyone with that information. But we've captured your question, Kathy. Amy, I see your comment here. It says, we would very much appreciate a solution if subrecipients spent the entire funding in year one. So we are diligently working on that, because we most definitely do not want anyone to have to complete a report if they have expended funds and did not conduct any activities. So thank you for that comment. Okay, I'm not seeing any additional questions related to the implementation guidance. I think we're going to go ahead and move into the general Q&A. And if you have any questions regarding anything else related to this cooperative agreement or any other potential topics that you may want to discuss on future calls, you know, please, again, you can enter that information into the chat or you can raise your hand and ask your question live. But first, I want to thank Erica for providing us a great overview of the Hospital Association implementation guidance. Just a reminder that guidance is available on the ASPR website. I believe we have included a link to that in the bulletin in previous bulletins, but you can access that information on the ASPR.HHS website. But as I said, if you have any general questions, you can ask them at this time.
Jennifer, John Wilgus with Florida Hospital Association. We have been entertaining an idea of at least for AHA's emergency readiness group of meeting in a face-to-face environment now that we're kind of coming out of the pandemic. Yes, I said it. the question is, like you meet with your state recipients at other events, and like you have met with the associations, the hospital associations at like the emergency readiness group meeting, is there an opportunity to either meet in combination with your public health recipients to discuss, you know, programmatic information, or is there still an opportunity to have ASPR representation at an association meeting? Certainly, we recognize that some of the other HA groups, like CFO group, help manage different associations' programs within ASPR, and an effort would be made to extend an invitation out to everyone who's participating in the cooperative agreement. But just want to kind of pick your brain on getting back together with headquarters to, like we've done in the past, to work through, you know, cooperative agreement questions or other planning programmatic issues. Just like your thoughts on that.
No, John, there's still certainly those opportunities. You know, of course, we're keeping in mind of us watching for COVID surges and also being, paying particular attention to any particular COVID protocols. So we know that, things are opening up and we just continue to be cautious, but know that certainly there are those opportunities for us to meet in person.
Great. Great. We'll work with you offline then to let you know what our plans are. Thank you.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, I have a captive audience here. I'll certainly leverage you guys to find out if there are any other topics that you would like to cover during these meetings. I know we've been, some of our CDC colleagues and liaisons have reached out to us recently about the monkeypox breakout. We know that it's just kind of slowly crossing the United States, and just wondered if that would be a topic or if you have specific questions that you would like to be able to ask of those groups as well. And certainly, we can certainly reach out to those individuals and have them available for our next call. And I see a question here from Lyle about any discussion on future funding. Unfortunately, Lyle, there have been no discussions about future funding at this time or additional allocations of funding that we might receive for this particular activity.
Okay, I'm not seeing any additional questions in the chat or any hands raised. So I think we're going to give you guys a little bit of time back on your calendars, and we'll I'm just going to end with a few closing remarks for you. But again, want to thank Erica and as well as our data evaluation and support team for their time today. And to, of course, to all of you for your active participation in today's meeting. We encourage you to stay connected with ASPR on social media to receive the most up-to-date information about how ASPR is contributing to healthcare preparedness and response. As a reminder, the next Hospital Association recipient webinar will be next month on July 21st, and we look forward to seeing all of you. So thank you and have a great day, everyone.